With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Support for GigPod is brought to you by Swiss Movement. Quality watches at affordable prices. Check out their website at www.swissmovement.co and get 10% off all watches with the code GigPod88.
Hello and welcome to GigPod. Now, I did say on the last episode that I'd be joined by Tony from Four Timbers, but there was a scheduling problem with that, and Tony will be on a future episode. But I'm joined by my old pal from 67 Hill Hill, Hamish Carlton. Hamish, how you doing, mate?
Well, I was better before you gave me all that spiel about me being about third or fourth choice, mate. Come on.
But I did promise to the listeners that Tony was going to win the last episode, and we kind of let the listeners down. We kind of lie to our wonderful listeners.
Tony's class. Tony will be on in a future episode, so if any listeners want to hold on for Tony, they can just completely turn off this episode already, because I've got a bit of a hangover. You can probably tell that from my voice as well, Rizzo, but we'll get into it, mate. At least we've got Celtic playing well to cheer us all up.
We have, aye. And this is episode 62, by the way, because I completely forgot the number, but episode 62 of this wonderful podcast, and we are going to talk about the ongoing Ange revolution, which had yet another, the train goes on, the tracks, it keeps getting better, as we had our setting success of 6-0 winning the league at home to St Mirren yesterday, a game that me and you attended, and Hamish, Celtic yet again were brilliant.
We're winning games in the first half at the moment. It happened yesterday, it happened against Dundee, it even to an extent happened in the whatever that League Cup's called now, Premier Sports Cup against Hearts. We're playing so well and coming out of the blocks so quickly in these matches. The opposition just can't deal with us. We're putting the game to bed by half time. I mean, 4-0 yesterday. I can't remember Celtic being 4-0 up at half time in a long, long time. And then it gets to the stage where the second half is almost a training game. The team very much had their eyes on Thursday night, I think, at that stage. And yet we still scored a couple of goals and didn't really look threatened at all by St Mirren. So it's just, the team is just playing so well, so much better than I think any of us could even have imagined in our wildest dreams.
Yes, I mean, I said it before that I would never have expected this when I did that podcast with cohort Spunkphone after the Hearts game. I mean, that, I thought we were just going to have a terrible season. And we might still, who knows what will happen in weeks to come, but I'm certainly happy the way things are going now, and I'm full of confidence for the big games in the week ahead. We'll talk about that later. And so in a game yesterday, were you surprised with the team that was selected? Ryan Christie came back and there was no James Forrest, who was out completely. Were you surprised at all with any of the picks that Andrew made, or was that expected?
I was probably a little surprised he went that strong. I felt that Greg Taylor might come out and Montgomery might start, and I felt that James McCarthy might get his first start. It kind of felt like the perfect game for him to start. Maybe he's just not quite up to speed to start matches yet. He certainly has looked a little bit little bit maybe sluggish so far, James McCarthy, in terms of, you know, quite naturally not been up to speed. Unlike Joe Hart, he hadn't been training, certainly with a club, before we signed him. So it's going to take him a little bit of time to get up to speed. But I kind of felt yesterday might be the right time for him to start that match. I felt he would rest Tom Rogic. I actually thought he might rest David Turnbull. Obviously really glad that he didn't, given how the game turned out. But yeah, I thought he would maybe rest a few more than he did. But I suppose if you're getting the game out of sight so early and you're able to then bring off some of your key players, I think, was it Kyogo and McGregor both came off, I think probably about 65 minutes in, maybe even earlier than that, which is obviously the right way to do it. So yeah, Ange got it spot on again, because in hindsight, if we maybe had to change too many players yesterday and would maybe just stuttered to like a 2-1 or a 3-2 win or something like that, it wouldn't have had the same feeling. The support wouldn't have had the same buzz going into what's a huge week. So we've really kept the momentum going. We've actually accelerated the momentum. Every single game that passes, this team is just looking better and better. They are looking like more of a team every single game. They look more comfortable every single game. And to be honest, I'm just gutted we've not got a home game every 3 days for the rest of our history, because I don't know about you, but I've been quite enjoying just seeing team after team roll up to Parkers and getting battered.
It's a pity that the next two games are away. We've not got another home game until after the international break when we play Ross County, but I don't know, that could be yet another goal fest. I'd imagine that we'll probably be out to like score a lot of goals that day. But so the game yesterday, now before we opened the score, and I have to make mention of Anthony Ralston, who again was brilliant. We nearly took the lead early on when he put a superb pass up the wing to Abada, I think it was, and Abada then crossed it to Turnbull, and his shot hit the post. But that pass for Anthony Ralston, I don't even know if it'll be on the highlights. I've not watched the highlights yet. That was absolutely fantastic. I know I've talked about it on the pod and ad infinitum about Ralston, but he's just been amazing. It's just the biggest transformation in Celtic for years. I think the last guy I can think of this was Bobby Petter, probably. And that was way back in the Martin O'Neill years, who had like a poor start. But look, it was different with Ralston, because I think everybody thought his career was over when he went on loan. And look, we've confirmed the signing of Josip Juranovic for Legia Warsaw. But I think at the moment, Juranovic will have a hard time getting in the team, because Anthony Ralston has been superb. And I've got no worries at all. I hope this isn't famous last words, but I've got no worries at all about him playing against AZ or at Ibrox next week.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing now is we're bringing Juranovic in, and the way Ralston's playing, that we have competition in that part of the pitch when 4 or 5 weeks ago we didn't have any options at all. Now we've got two pretty viable ones, I would suggest. And yeah, I think you're right about Ralston. I just feel like we've all got to just kind of reevaluate where or how good Ralston can be. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be a Kieran Tierney and you know, we could sell him for 20 million or something in a couple of years, but he can certainly be a good first team player for Celtic, because this hasn't just been 2 or 3 games, John. This has been, I think, 6 or 7 games, basically this whole season. I thought he was really rusty in the opening game against Mechelen, really rash in that game, the one at Celtic Park. But I think since then, basically since the away leg in Denmark, he's been one of our better players, our top 3 or 4 players, pretty much every single game. And, you know, off the top of my head, that's probably about 7 or 8 games ago. So this is a guy who's now hit form. And again, just going back to what I said, looks far more comfortable with every single game. And that's what I'm saying. I think that as time goes on, who's to say Anthony Ralston couldn't go on to an even better level than he's shown at the moment and couldn't become, you know, a player that does get a bit of interest from down south. He's never going to be Kieran Tierney level, but the way he's playing at the moment, if he can translate that, you know, over a longer period of time, then we have one a watch. He will quite literally be like a new signing. He was up against a good side on Wednesday night, a really, really good side in Alkmaar, and just thought he was brilliant again. Absolutely brilliant energy the whole match. you know, especially in the closing stages, he had two or three runs in the final 5 or 6 minutes, and he looked the fittest player in that park. And I think if you went back 5 or 6 weeks, he'd be one of the guys you'd be most worried about on the park in the closing stages of the game. You know, this was a guy that folk had just completely written off, and I was actually feeling sorry for him. It got to that stage, I was feeling sorry for him that he was having to play when he quite simply and quite clearly just wasn't up to the standard we needed. And now he's very much the standard that we need. He's playing brilliantly, but it's not just been two or three games, John. It's been like 7 or 8.
No, he's been fantastic, and like, who knows, he might even get a new extended contract out of this. I mean, you couldn't begrudge him that. He's been doing that well. So if we look at the first half, which was just relentless for Celtic, we opened the scoring 17 minutes, Lila Bada, where I think it was a cross, really, a cross shot type thing, but Jack Alnwick, who had a bit of an odd game, thankfully flapped it at the back of the net, put his 1-0 up. Then, about time, Alan Power gets sent off for a ridiculous challenge on David Turnbull. No complaints about that, Hamish, that was a definite red card.
You need to say the phrase, the famous gig pod phrase about Power.
What's that again?
What's that? Come on.
I don't take anything to do with a Twitter account, a gig pod. I washed my hands of that long ago.
Well, that's Power Away.
That's Power Away, yes. I usually
Or even the even better one I came up with was The Power's Gone Off.
The Power's Gone Off, yes. Look, it did it Rafe Robles all night. No, that was a boot time. He got a red card. I mean, he's not the most cultured player, let's say. But no.
Was he the guy that had a run-in with Jeremy Frimpong a few years ago at Kilmarnock?
It was him, yes. And a more humorous note, he also done a ridiculous challenge on, I think it was Ryan Jack, where he sort of booted him in the head. And it was probably a red card, you have to say.
Well, I've not seen the incident, but it sounds, from what you're saying, like a really fair challenge.
Yes, it was, yes. But it would have been not even a booting if it hadn't said it. I don't even think it was a booting, but no, he's not the best player, but no, it was good to see him sent off, and really that, we're already in charge of the game, but that just like sort of made it even easier for us. A couple of minutes after it, Abada scored again, Greg Taylor with a cross and his downward header in the net. Then St Mirren had a goal disallowed. I don't know if you saw, but I was in line with it in the ground, and it was just about offside, I'd say. So there's that. Then Turnbull got in the act with a good swerving shot about 30 yards out, and then he scored again just before half time after another Jack Alnwick disaster where he completely flapped at a cross and then like Turnbull just volleyed it in. It's interesting that Turnbull, I've noticed, didn't really go in for like sort of extreme celebrations when he scored for us. I don't know what that's about. Maybe he's saving it for next week, but no, that was 4-0 at half time and the game was won. Within,
I realise this isn't the pie and Bovril podcast, but from a St Mirren point of view, you would be very, very disappointed with those goals you conceded. I mean, take nothing away from the quality of Celtic's play yesterday, but that first goal is an absolute howler from Alnwick. I think it was a shot, but it's
it wasn't getting in. Yeah, it wasn't getting in until he flapped at it.
It was an absolute howler. Second goal is a really well worked goal from our point of view. Like, I think Greg Taylor gets in and Abada does well, heads it down, but terrible goal to concede. Goalkeeper again for me, the ball's in the air for so long. You know, Abada heads it down and it goes into the air and loops in. Either he or a defender have to be getting that clear. Third goal, I think Turnbull's shot from distance. I think he's really poor again. It's a good strike from David Turnbull. This will sound like I'm wanting to, you know, take away everything that good that Celtic did yesterday. I just think it's a good strike for Turnbull. It's into the corner. I wouldn't say it was an absolutely sensational goal. It wasn't as good as the one Turnbull scored against Jablonec a few weeks ago. And then the fourth goal was just a complete howler from Alnwick. So you're looking at all four goals. Second half, the two goals are probably he's probably faultless for both of them from memory, but you know, the game's away. The Alan Power red card, it was just so obvious. I mean, I don't like going about and just chucking accusations out like this, but it did look like he just chucked it. He just thought, Celtic are too good today. The way they're moving the ball, you know, I'm going to get myself sent off. Or he was just trying to, probably more likely, the more I think about it, just trying to, you know, put a mark on on Celtic, but just like basically, you know, the whole of the match, Celtic were just far too quick for St Mirren. It was just, it was an awful, awful challenge right in front of me as well. Fair to say, I was up off my seat. I've missed going nuts at the football and shouting abuse at someone. So that was a perfectly apt moment. So I thank Mr. Power for that.
Yep, it was a deserved red card. Just to say as well, in the first half, Edward hit the bar with a sort of effort for inside the penalty box. It was sort of block type deflected thing. It bounced on the top of the bar. And Kyogo really should have scored as well after a good move where he blazed over the bar, sort of similar to what he did against Jablonec. And as you said, two goals in the second half. First one for Eddie at the second attempt. It was a good finish after a ball in by Kyogo. And what I think was the best goal of the game was Tumbles, the sixth goal. And that was where I was sitting. And they swapped ends to regular Celtic watchers. Where we usually shoot in the first half, we were in the second half.
That worked too well for St Mirren, didn't it?
I think I remember Rangers trying that a couple of times as well, and it didn't have much success. But no, that was a well-worked move. And like it showed that we were still hungry. We were constantly pressing, and it was a good pass and move involving Rogic. And he put it in for Tumble, and he flicked over the goalie, Alnwick, to make it 6-0. And just to say, Alnwick, who did have a dodgy game, did make a brilliant save for Kyogo, like for point blank, after another good move. But no, that was 6-0, and it was another great performance. And just a couple of observations I had. I thought that Kyogo was maybe not as good, even though he played well, I think he's probably better through the middle. And I think we should have played Edward on his side, but I don't know, we can't complain about it because Edward did score and like Kyogo still played well and he still nearly scored. So
this would have sounded completely mental any time over the last two or three seasons. But do you think Celtic are a stronger team without Edward? And by that I mean with Kyogo through the middle and say Ryan Christie or Forrest on the left. I agree. I think, I don't know, I just, again, it sounds mental. We won 6-0 yesterday, right? And Edward was up top, so this is going to sound crazy. But I agree, I think we look more of a threat when Kyogo is through the middle. I think he looks more of a threat. I think the team overall look more of a threat. But then again, Edward, I thought, was really good yesterday. So maybe it's just nice to have options.
It is, but I was thinking back to the Jablonec game at home where Tom Rogic kept trying to like pass balls in through the middle to set Kyogo up, because remember he had that one right at the very, like, the first 30 seconds of the game, and he tried to take it past the goalkeeper. But so I think he is more of a threat through the middle, and I don't want to go into like the derby too much, but I mean it wouldn't surprise me if that's what we've done for the derby, because I don't know if you've noticed, but the impregnable Rangers defence has conceded more goals than we have in the league this season. So and they conceded two goals to Ross County today. They beat them 4-2, but I don't know, that's a bit of a worrying sign when you're giving away two goals to a team like Ross County, who, no disrespect, aren't very good. So, no, I think we might do that for Ibrox, but we'll be doing another podcast nearer that game. And the other thing I noticed was the goals have been shared around the team, which is always a good sign. I mean, I think Kyogo's got 6, Abada's got 4, and Tumble's got 5 for the season. And that's 3 players that are well on their way to double figures. I mean, if they stay fit, I think each of them could get 20 goals.
I think that's probably a rather conservative.
Do you think maybe 30 goals each?
Well, I think Kyogo will score 30 goals in all competitions. I think Abada will score at least 20 in all comps, and I think Turnbull will as well.
Yes, I'm just looking at the statistics for this. By the way, we had 37 shots in goal, which is like an average of like 3. Well, no, I'm not even going to get into that in case I fuck it up. Maths was never my strong point. Hold on. I'll make some quick calculations here, Hamish.
It'll be one every 3 minutes.
2.43 minutes, so I shoot every like 2 minutes, which is just unbelievable. Oh, by the way, this is even more ridiculous. On the BBC Sport Player of the Match, unbelievably, was McGrath at St Mirren.
Did you see Kenny McDonald for the Scottish Suns player ratings?
No, I don't usually read papers anymore.
So we won 6-0, as you know, home to St Mirren.
Yes.
I think he gave, interestingly enough, on a sub note, he gave Alan Power a 0, which I think is probably about fair for his contribution yesterday. But Celtic, I think he gave maybe Abada and Turnbull like an 8 or a 9. I think effectively every other player was a 6 for a 6-0 home win. And St Mirren players were basically 5s and 6s. So I really don't know how that computes. But I think he's shown form in the past to lean the other way, let's just say, in the Glasgow divide. But the other thing I wanted to say, like you pointed out the chances in the first half, and we scored 4 goals in the first half. There was the Turnbull shot, which you mentioned, the first few minutes that hits the post, and there's the Kyogo chance, which I really like Kyogo, but he misses a few sitters right over the bar. That's 3 sitters, and we scored 4 goals. Like, that could conceivably, genuinely, have been 7-0 at half-time, and St Mirren couldn't have had any complaints about that. Now, fair enough, we ease off a little bit in the second half, but I don't know how you feel about this, but we are going to beat a team double figures this season, I think.
I think that's possible because we're so relentless, and I mean, I know there's always been a worry about like the team getting burned out about the 60-70 minute mark, but when we can bring like players on, like Rogic, for example, or I don't know, maybe even a Jetty, who I thought did well for the 6th goal yesterday. I'm not his biggest fan, but he did well, and you're right, we really could score double figures, which I can't ever remember Celtic doing, unless I think we might have done it in the first game in the road to Seville, and I can't remember the name of the team we played, but I think we might.
It was Sudova. I think we beat them 8-1 and 2-0 away, so it was 10 on aggregate, so I'll let you away with it.
All right, I can't ever remember scoring 10. I remember, of course, we scored 9 against Aberdeen.
We scored 8 against Hamilton.
8 against Hamilton, 8 against, I think, Junes. 8 against Dunfermline, 8 against, I think, Junes S, when Mark Burchell scored the fastest ever hat-trick. In European history, or Celtic history in Europe anyway, just a couple of days before we beat Rangers 6-2 there, fact fans. No, I kind of remember scoring 10, but I don't know what could happen. But it's just relentless the way Celtic play, and that's what David Turnbull, I've got his quotes here, he says we're relentless until the 90th minute, and that was impressive to me yesterday, how we just kept working, even when the game was won. I thought we might slacken off a bit, and we did, but then I don't think Ange wants Celtic to slacken off. I think he wants us to go for the juggler of the team, and well, it's a huge transformation compared to a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know, if that's certainly exciting, you know, he'd be a Celtic fan anyway, and it's, I think a couple of weeks ago, I would have been dreading like this week, but I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure you are as well.
Aye, definitely, 100%. I can't wait to see us playing on Thursday night. I can't wait to see us taking on Rangers at Ibrox. Obviously, you know, I think you guys will preview that later on in the week, but I don't know, I just think that if we play like that, I honestly don't think they're going to be able to deal with us at all. Yesterday, there was two examples that I want to bring up. One was late in the game. It was probably 5-0 at the time, maybe 83, 84 minutes, something like that, and Leo Abada got the ball on the right wing. And I think if it had been 0-0 or 1-0 early in the first half, he would have fizzed it across quite quickly, because everything he does is really quick. But I think at this stage, 5-0 up, probably looking for his hat-trick, he kind of tried to take on a man and go himself and gave it away. And I looked to Angie, or Ange just happened to kind of catch my eye, and he was kind of slapping his wrist type thing in frustration. And that's the team 5-0 up in a game in the last 10 minutes, and he's still frustrated. That's the hunger you want to see from this team. And the other one was Joe Hart, probably again, similar stage of the game. It was maybe 4-0 at this stage. Ball comes over to kind of, St Mirren are just clearing their lines effectively, and the ball comes over to the left-hand side of the park. They kind of let the usual left-back position, and Joe Hart sprints from his goal 30, 40 yards, to get the ball and to start the next attack. Just that real urgency that was so badly lacking last season. If that's last season, rest assured, you know, Barkas or Bain are standing in their line, and the left back's going to get the ball and the other team's getting set up. Everything we do at the moment is, you know, really quick and with real tempo. And like, I like to talk up the Scottish League in general, but there are a lot of players who are really just going to struggle, and a lot of teams that are really going to struggle with the way we play. And that's why I honestly think maybe 10 is a slight slightly beyond us, but certainly we'll score 7. I think we'll probably score 8 this season in a home game.
Yep, I think you could be right. I mean, 6 twice already, and could easily have been 7 or 8 in both of the games with the chances we missed. But no, so that was another great performance, and we're doing okay again domestically after a dodgy start, and of course we've got Ibrox next week. But now we're going to have a brief talk about the big game of Thursday when we play the second leg of the Europa League playoff against AZ Alkmaar. Of course, we've got a 2-0 lead going into that second leg. The first leg, I think, was probably our best win of the season so far because Alkmaar were a good team. They did miss a couple of chances, but then so did we. So, and we, of course, kept the all-important clean sheet. And how are you feeling about that game, Hamish? Are you confident that we can go over there and not only like qualify, but actually win over there?
Well, I think we'll go over to win the match. And I think Ange may even have said that. He's not going to go over and try and hold on to the lead. Now, don't get me wrong, if it's in the closing stages of the match and it's 1-0 to Alkmaar on the night and we're still winning an aggregate, I don't think we're going to be going all out to try and, you know, get an equaliser on the night. I think we'll defend at that stage. But in terms of how we start the match, I think we'll look to take the game to them and actually feel more secure with that, John. Like, more secure that knowing that we're not going to just try and turn up and maybe defend like Celtic teams in the past would with a 2-goal lead. I feel more secure that the team aren't going out of the way they've been playing lately. I think that was just such a problem under the previous manager, who I know you guys don't like to name, who had some more daft comments earlier this weekend. We won't get into that. But he routinely changed things up for big games to try and, I don't know, show off that he is a good manager. And it routinely backfired in big games. Ange won't do that. Ange will put his ego aside in terms of showing he's a good manager, and Ange will put the trust in the players to do what they've been taught on the training pitch. And it'll be the same at Ibrox as well. We will take the game to Rangers. So I feel much more secure knowing that, in a funny way, even though we may be a little bit more easily got at and a little bit more vulnerable at the back. I feel more secure that we're going to try and take the game to both these teams.
Yeah, I would say the same. I mean, we were talking about it on the podcast the other day, like maybe previously we'd try and like hit a team in the break, and I would actually quite like us to maybe try and do that because I think we've got the pace on our players that could just like cut through Alkmaar. But I think you're right. At first anyway, I think we'll go toe-to-toe and try and get an early goal and then all but kill off the tie. And
yeah,
think we'll play as much of the same team as we did yesterday. I mean, maybe Forrest will be back. I'm not sure if he missed that game yesterday with an injury or it was a rest. So I think he'll probably be back.
I think he had a wee knock, James Forrest. But so let me just check. I had a knock, but it was nothing serious. Just really rested like Christie had been.
And I think Rogic will be back in the starting lineup, and I think he could be a big player for us in the game, because I know we went on about him at length the other night in the podcast, but he's another player that has been transformed under Ange. And it's like the Rogic old, when he used to just dominate games with his touches. And I don't know. I know we don't want to talk about the game next Sunday that we seem to be talking about a lot, but I think he could be a big player in that game because he's got a good record there. And I think he could help sort of dominate the midfield. But I don't want to talk about that game yet because, of course, Thursday's the biggest game until then. And I don't know, we won't like make a prediction or anything because I think that just like gives people a chance to have a go at us, and we're nice guys here at GigPod. So I don't know, I'm confident that we can go over there and get a positive result. And I think if we do, that'll give us massive confidence going into the game at Ibrox. I mean, that's what, I don't know if people were going to be like blasé about yesterday, like, oh, like that's the least important game. But no, it was an important game because we wanted to make sure like we keep this run going, and we want to get back to the top of the league. I mean, we're only, I think, a point behind now. We want the momentum to keep going, and I think a draw on Thursday would be a good result. But if possible, I'd want us to go over there and get an emphatic win, and I think that would make people take notice. I mean, it's not like going away and winning a Champions League qualifier. But I think AZ are a good team that finished third in the Dutch league last season. I think if we go over there and win, it would be a big statement. probably not as big as winning at Ibrox, but still a big statement. And I am confident that this Celtic team can go over there and win. And as I've said before, no way would I have thought of that only like 3 or 4 weeks ago. But I just won everybody around. And I think even if things didn't go well this week, which I don't think they will, because I think they will, I think Andrew still has everybody's backing because everybody sees what he's doing, and I think that he deserves the support of the fans, which he's got, and if he wanted to sign more players, the support of the board as well.
A lot of Celtic fans had written off this tie against AZ Alkmaar. I certainly felt it was going to be a huge ask to beat a team that had finished 1 point, I think, behind PSV last season in the Eredivisie, beat them home and away, I think, and people were running scared of the prospect of playing PSV in the Champions League had we beaten Michelin. So I definitely felt it was a very tough ask to get into the Europa League, and it would be a massive shot in the arm, a further shot in the arm, a second jab, if you will, for this team if they were able to put AZ Alkmaar to the sword, and to put, you know, the third best team in Holland out of the Europa League, I think would be really good for a team that is still in such a transitional period, so many new players at the club. I think getting into the Europa League would be, or the Europa League group stage would be such a boost to everyone at the club as well. I kind of feel now that they've got this third competition, that the Europa League's reputation and its kind of aura has grown a little bit. I don't know if that's UEFA's intention, but I do think the fact that it's now not the second competition of two, it's like the middle competition, and there's a lesser one. I think the Europa League is a bit stronger. Like, there's obviously big changes to the group stage this season. Anyone who, you know, watches Citizen Hill Hill will know I never really shut up about it, but they've brought down the group stage from 12 groups of four to 8 groups of four. So you've got 16 fewer teams in the Europa League this season, basically from the poorer countries. So you're going to have, in theory, a much stronger group stage. Some of the teams already qualified: Lyon, Napoli, Bayer Leverkusen, our old friends Lazio, our old friends Leicester City, Braga, Frankfurt. And then you've got all these teams dropping out of the Champions League as well. So you're going to have one of Monaco or Shakhtar Donetsk. You're going to have one of Benfica or PSV. You get Marseille in there, Real Betis. Even the pot teams that are going to be in pot four will be probably a bit stronger than teams that have been in pot four in the past. I think we'd probably be looking at a pot two place. So we'd still be in with a chance of qualifying. And obviously, third place in the Europa League groups now drop into the aforementioned Conference League after Christmas. So 3 out of 4 teams in the group are going to be playing football post-Christmas rather than just the usual two in the Europa League. I just think it would be huge for the club. We'd get some big nights. We'd sell out Celtic Park for the Europa League group stage games. And I honestly think we could do some damage in that competition the way we're playing at the moment if the team continues to grow at the rate they are.
I don't even think people are really thinking that far ahead yet. But as you say, there's a lot of big teams in the competition, and we've done well in the Europa League before under the man who will not be named. And I think we're playing well enough, as you say, to do well. And I think even if we do end up in the conference, I think we could do well in that competition as well. I'm not sure how many teams will be taking that seriously, and they probably should. I mean, if we get to the last 8 or last 4 of that competition, I think it'd be, I don't know, people would be going crazy with the excitement. Us being in like a possible European final, it'd be huge. You know, maybe not as big as Seville because it had been so many like years, but it'd still be a massive achievement. And no, I really think we could do well in the Europa League if we get there, and I'm confident we can do that.
The Europa League finals in Seville this year, by the way. And the Conference League finals in Albania, and I believe their president, I don't know if he's still their president, but you know, the biggest Celtic fan, still the weirdest thing ever. He still is absolutely obsessed with Celtic, and you're kind of asking yourself, like, you know, should you not be more focused on maybe running your country than tweeting goals of Kyogo and stuff like that? But you know, each to their own.
Yep, I forgot about that, so it's a sign we're going to get to one of the finals. Right, so Hamish, thanks very much for joining us on this week's episode of GigPod, and go ahead and plug what you do at 67 Hill Hill.
We chat about Celtic on 67 Hill Hill. It's a YouTube channel. Me, team of other people, including Jackie McNamara and our latest signing, Scott McDonald, are part of the channel, and we chat about Celtic in good times and bad times, and thankfully this is one of the former.
See, when you said we'd chat to people, including, I thought you were going to mention Stevie, who has of course been on.
He's a Z-lister.
Well, with your glasses, he certainly is. yep, 67 Hill Hill. Hamish writes for the website as well sometimes, so you can check that out as well, 67hillhill.com. And if you want to find the YouTube channel, just type 67 Hill Hill into YouTube, and there's lots and lots of videos, and they're all very good. And Hamish should be doing post-match reactions as well. And I'm sure you'll have a lot of stuff on the agenda for this week, Hamish, with the two big games on the channel.
Definitely. Yeah, as you say, post-match reactions to both games, loads of previewing to both games. I think I'm planning something, big preview for Ibrox on Saturday with another YouTube star. And it's not Stevie, before you, you pipe in, John. And maybe, touch wood, if things go well on Thursday night, we'll have some sort of a video on the Europa League draw, which is obviously another exciting thing that we've got possibly coming up this week, should we do the job in Alkmaar.
Yep, so check out that. And thanks to Hamish for being on. And you can leave us the usual 5-star ratings, the good reviews on all the usual places. Look for us on Apple Podcasts, everywhere else, your other podcast platforms. And we'll be back after the AZ Alkmaar game on Thursday. I'm not sure who'll be on it. It'll be me, Stevie, Spunk Bone, two of the three amigos of GigPod. But Hamish, thanks again, mate. I'll speak to you soon. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Hail, hail.
Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.